One of the persistent themes in this section of Luke's gospel, particularly in chapter 12, is that of preparedness, readiness. It comes across over and again as we go through this very wonderful passage in Luke. You'll remember last week we had the parable of the rich fool. You know, he was the guy that had enjoyed a great deal of material success, so much success, in fact, that he's putting all of his energy, all of his preparedness into building bigger barns and storing up more for himself so that he can eat, drink, and be merry. This is the great call of the world to gather up a lot of stuff in storage and eat, drink, and be merry. And suddenly at night, we're told in the parable, God appears to this very successful man and says, tonight, this very night, your life is being demanded of you. Well, he's not prepared at all for that. He is not ready for that. And of course, the question that confronts him is who's going to get all this stuff that he has built up. So his readiness, his preparedness, his investment strategy has proved to be a little short-term. And Jesus is suggesting to him and to us a longer-term strategy. Jesus moves on in the chapter of Luke, chapter 12, and tells the church not to worry, not to be anxious about things like that. Do not worry, he says in verse 22, about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. Don't spend your time worrying or being anxious. I am a warrior by nature. I am descended from a long line of warriors. Let me ask, how many of you are willing to acknowledge that you're a warrior? It's endemic to the Episcopal Church, and I suggest some of the greatest servants of the church have been natural-born warriors. This is a fact of life. We are those who concern ourselves and prepare, and sometimes get lost in that anxiety and worry. I have a recurring dream that is typical of type A warrior people, and it always has something to do with showing up on the first day for the New York State bar exam and not having prepared, not being ready to take this test. Sometimes I have a dream that I've showed up in church and I'm prepared to preach a sermon on the wrong lessons. It happens, that kind of anxiety and worry, all the time. Jesus says don't worry so much about that, what you will eat or what you will wear. He tells us instead to be prepared, to be ready for the kingdom of God. The nations of the world, he said, strive for all of those things, all of that type of prosperity, but he tells us not to spend so much time preparing and striving, being ready for that, but rather to be prepared and ready for the kingdom. And coupled, of course, with this message of preparedness, readiness for the kingdom, are these very powerful admonitions against that which gets in our way, that which impedes our readiness for this good news of the kingdom. And these are always found in the very brief phrase, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm told that in the King James Version of the Bible, do not be afraid appears one way or the other over 100 times, 103 times, I am told. I'll leave it to others who keep track of that sort of thing, but it's a very powerful, consistent message, and here in the book of Luke, it comes across all of the time. We begin, of course, in the first chapter of Luke. He tells Zacharias not to be afraid. The angel does. Luke starts out very early, and we know pretty much everything about Mary from Luke, but we have the angel appearing to Mary, and the first words to her are, "Do not be afraid." The angel, we find in Luke alone, appearing to the shepherds in the field on that fateful night in Bethlehem, and the angel tells the shepherds, do not be afraid. And here again, in today's gospel lesson, as he speaks very powerfully in this brief passage, he begins by saying, fear not, do not be afraid. He's introducing over and again his call to witness, his call to discipleship, his call to faith with those words, do not be afraid. Here in Luke, Jesus is telling his little flock, fear not, little flock. And when he says little flock, I guarantee you he is speaking to the Episcopal Church, Trust me. Fear not, my little flock. We are part of him. This shepherd image is reinforced. And he points out that in the world, his flock is little. His flock is beginning. His flock is ever evolving and ever growing. And then, of course, this powerful verse, verse 32 in chapter 12, I say that it embodies the very heart of the gospel. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, there is the gospel. Our Lord God has given us Jesus Christ at a great distance and a great cost, and this is the essential message that Jesus brings to us, his disciples, and his church. Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, when I begin to seriously consider the gift of Jesus Christ, the cost of Jesus Christ, then I always have to ask myself, have to wonder why I spend so much time in fear and anxiety. Anyway, Jesus goes through several opportunities in this passage in Luke to tell us what not to be afraid of. In verse 4, he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, for after that they have no more than they can do." He tells us not to fear death. I've rarely met anyone who is not in some way afraid of death. A few verses later in verse 11, Jesus says, "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers, don't be anxious. Don't be worried." The fear of public shame, the fear of what others are going to think or what others say about you is nothing compared to the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more important than the opinions of other people. In verse 22, he goes on the third time, "Do not be anxious, do not worry about food or drink or clothing or shelter." Sometimes I think the irony of my generation in this country is that the more wealth that has been built up in this country, the more that has been produced, the more that it is gathered, we have not become a less anxious people. That is my personal testimony. At 64, we are not a less anxious people, even in our wealth and prosperity. But it's here in verse 32 in today's gospel that he takes this capstone on his preaching against fear. He says, "Fear not, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom." It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Why would he have to say, to introduce that, by telling us not to be afraid? Well, I have my own ideas, and I think it's because we as human beings, it is our nature to think that God is not as generous. God is not as loving as Christ repeatedly tells us and shows us that God is. God gives us Jesus Christ. God reminds us in Christ that he is not ill-disposed or angry, but is generous and helpful and hopeful for us. That's the God that Jesus is telling us we need to be prepared for. That is the God that we hope for in Jesus Christ. That is, according to Jesus Christ, the true heart of God. I treasure the formative experiences that I had in the church, in this tradition. I think looking back on it, were the greatest gift my parents gave me, with not an education and not prosperity, but getting me to church, giving me the gift of this wonderful tradition. I never had the experience in church of hearing about a God who was mean-spirited or petty or vindictive. I heard about the God preached in the gospel today from Luke chapter 12, the God whose pleasure it is to give us his kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To hear about a God who is acting in freedom, in delight, out of joy and out of his desiring. Who wouldn't want to be prepared and ready for that? Not a God who is acting out of duty or obligation, not a God who is acting certainly out of necessity. but one who promises to give us his kingdom. It's his good pleasure. He tells us, fear not. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to believe everything that has been shown to us in Jesus Christ, the sacrifices that are made out of love on our behalf. Now, in this promise that it is his pleasure to give us the kingdom, what is it that he doesn't promise? Well, I don't think he promises anything about money. I don't think he promises popularity or fame. There's no evidence of that in the whole history of the disciples and saints of this church. I don't think he promises us to give us security in this life. He promises us a different investment strategy altogether, a different trajectory, a different endpoint. This enduring image that is given us in Luke 12, the master of the house comes back from a wedding banquet. He comes back late, very late, sometimes maybe at dawn, and he finds the faithful. He finds his staff, his household. He finds them watchful. He finds them prepared. He finds them ready. Sort of have the image of the fire department just waiting for the call. They are ready. They are ready to serve. And what takes place there? What takes place when the master comes and finds his people watchful and hopeful and ready and prepared? Well, that's the very image that's given to us in the Last Supper. The master himself puts his belt on. The master himself serves the people, delights in serving his own household. This is the God we hear about from Jesus Christ this morning. It's said that by some of the commentators that Luke dwelt on the subject of preparedness and readiness because, of course, in the early church there was such a proximate expectation that the second coming was at hand, that it would not take long. Well, after 2 millennia, I don't get up every morning thinking, well, today's the day of the second advent, although, quite frankly, there have been days when I sure could have welcomed that fateful event. It's hard for us to imagine today getting up thinking, today is the day. Today is the day of the second coming in our lifetime, being prepared for that. Many people shift from that and think, well, maybe he is speaking about being prepared for our death. And in my experience, that's not such a bad paradigm. I've found over and again that God rarely tells any of us how much time we have left. Very rarely get an extended invitation. But I think instead of merely preparing, seeing this as an invitation to be prepared for our death, something ought to be said about being called to be prepared for Christ to come into our lives every single day, every single moment. Being prepared, being ready for a God who comes and tells us that it is his good pleasure, his desiring to give us the kingdom. Telling us, urging us to move past our anxieties, to move beyond our fears, and to move into a realm of joy and liberation. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.